Where did anti-Semitism get its start? Why has it been such a persistent problem all through the centuries? And what are the reasons it is becoming worse today? That's our topic in this episode of Foreshadowed Report. Welcome to Foreshadowed Report, a podcast dedicated to keeping watch and finding hope as we grow in our understanding of Bible prophecy. This is Steve Miller. In recent months, anti-Semitism has exploded all over the world. This hatred of the Jewish people has a long history. While there are some people who are quick to call it another form of racism, it is far more than that. Anti-Semitism has a spiritual explanation behind it. It is rooted in the fact that Satan is an enemy of God, Israel, and the Christian gospel. Once we realize that anti-Semitism is the result of a conflict between Satan and the God of the universe, we suddenly see why it is so irrational and so dangerous. In this episode, we're going to learn more about this cancer known as anti-Semitism. We'll look at what is helping to spread it and what Bible prophecy tells us about the future rise and fall of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism has a long and ugly history. It goes back to the beginning of the Bible, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The moment Adam and Eve fell into sin, they immediately experienced separation from God, and the entire world fell into darkness. It became captive to sin and death. Yet on that very same day, God revealed that He already had a plan in place to make it possible for mankind to come back to God. In what is the first prophecy in the Bible, God spoke these words to Satan: "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This prophecy looked ahead to the day when Satan would bruise the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ at the crucifixion. But this bruise would only be a temporary wound. 3 days later, Jesus would rise from the dead. When Christ arose, He bruised Satan's head with a wound that would be fatal. Satan's victory at the cross was temporary, and Christ's victory in the resurrection was permanent. In the prophecy given in Genesis 3:15, God reveals to us the outcome of the war between Satan and Christ. Christ would win, and Satan would be forever defeated. God revealed more details about this plan in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. In that passage, God told Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Here, God promised Abraham that his descendants would become a great nation. That nation is Israel. And God also promised that through Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Something good would come out of Israel that would bring blessing to the entire world. The blessing God is talking about here is Jesus, the one who makes salvation possible for fallen mankind. The greatest blessing any person can ever know is to have their sins forgiven so they can return to God. So in Genesis 12, God revealed that the Savior would come through Israel and that this Savior would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Ever since God gave that promise, Satan has done everything he can to prevent God's plan from being fulfilled. Satan has hated the nation of Israel from the beginning. He knew that through Israel would come a Savior who would defeat him. For this reason, we can say that Satan was the first anti-Semite. All through biblical history, Satan has repeatedly attempted to thwart God's plan. You'll remember in the book of Exodus, The Pharaoh of Egypt commanded that all the baby boys born to the Hebrew woman be put to death, but God miraculously intervened, and Moses survived. Many years later, God used Moses to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt, but Satan didn't give up easily. The Pharaoh sent his army after the Israelites. They could have been wiped out along the shores of the Red Sea, but then God opened the Red Sea for his people, and they went through on dry ground and survived. Another major crisis hit during the time of Queen Esther. A man named Haman, who hated the Jews, came up with a plot to kill all the Jewish people in the kingdom of Persia. Had Queen Esther not intervened on behalf of her fellow Hebrews, Haman would have exterminated all of them, would have been wiped out. All through the Old Testament, the people of Israel faced other crises that threatened their existence. The most persistent problem was Israel's constant rebellion against God by committing idolatry. For this reason, God had to bring judgment upon his people. The northern kingdom of Israel was taken captive by Assyria, and later the southern kingdom of Judah was taken in exile by Babylon. In all of this, you can be sure that Satan was hoping that Israel would self-destruct to the point that it would cease to exist as a nation. Satan's hope was that Christ would never be born. But God has always had a faithful remnant who are loyal to him, and Satan was never able to bring an end to the people of Israel. When we get to the New Testament era, Jesus is born. When King Herod was told this baby was king of the Jews, Herod became afraid. He wanted to protect his throne. So he ordered that all the baby boys in Bethlehem be killed. This was yet another attempt by Satan to prevent the fulfillment of God's promise in Genesis 3:15. But again, God intervened, and Joseph, Mary, and Jesus escaped from Herod's attempt to kill Jesus. Shortly before Jesus began his public ministry, he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. Satan did all he could to tempt Jesus into sin so that he would not be able to go to the cross. But again, Satan failed. On the day before the crucifixion, Jesus prayed to the Father, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." We can be sure that Satan was hoping Jesus would surrender to fear and call the whole thing off. When Jesus died on the cross, for the moment, it appeared as if Satan might have won the battle. And we cannot help but wonder, was it Satan who inspired the chief priest to have a large stone rolled in front of the tomb? Was this a desperate effort on Satan's part to keep Christ in the grave? But we all know what happened. On the third day, Christ arose, and he was victorious over sin and Satan. After many repeated attempts, Satan was not able to stop Israel from giving birth to the Messiah. He was not able to prevent Jesus from going to the cross and rising from the grave. And now that Jesus has risen, Satan is doing everything he can to prevent Christ's return. He knows that when Christ comes back, that will spell the end for him. A few decades after the crucifixion and resurrection, in AD 70, God brought judgment upon the people of Israel. Armies came from Rome and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and for the next 1900 years, the Jewish people were scattered all over the globe. But God promised there would come a day when he would bring his people back into the land. A day was coming when Israel would be a nation again. Many of the Old Testament prophets recorded these promises, and among the best known are those recorded by Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapters 36 and 37. All through the centuries, Satan has wanted to prevent Israel from being reborn. He knew that if that happened, God would be able to start setting the stage for Christ's return. He knew that the prophecies about Christ's second coming require that a nation of Israel be in place at the time of his return. The rebirth of Israel took place on May 14, 1948, and I believe it is no coincidence that just a few years earlier, Satan unleashed all his fury against the Jews in the Holocaust. He was determined to wipe out Israel because he did not want it to become a nation. But in 1945, Nazi Germany was defeated, and the Holocaust came to an end. And just 3 years later, In 1948, Israel was reborn. After Israel announced its independence, within 24 hours, five Arab nations went to war against Israel. Their goal was to wipe out the Jewish people completely. But against all odds, Israel won. Since then, the Arab nations around Israel have started other wars, and Israel has won them all. Satan's hatred for the Jewish people is the root of all anti-Semitism. And as we draw closer to Christ's return, we can expect anti-Semitism to get worse. In fact, Scripture tells us that anti-Semitism will reach its peak during the end time, during the seven-year tribulation. In Matthew 24, verses 15 through 20, Jesus warned that at the halfway point of the tribulation, the Antichrist will commit what is called the abomination of desolation. He will enter the temple that will be rebuilt in Jerusalem during the end times, and the Antichrist will declare himself to be God. From that moment onward, he will initiate the worst persecution ever of the Jewish people. And Jesus commanded that when the abomination of desolation took place, the Jewish people were not to go back home and gather their belongings. They were to flee immediately. We know this persecution will be far worse than the Holocaust. For this reason, keep in mind that the Holocaust was brought about by one country, the nation of Germany. But by the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist will be the ruler of the entire world. He will have the power to bring about a global persecution. That's why the persecution he brings will make the Holocaust pale in comparison. Scripture tells us that as the tribulation progresses, the persecution will get worse. Zechariah 12:3 tells us that at the end of the tribulation, the Antichrist will bring all the armies of the world against Jerusalem. The entire world will hate Israel and try to destroy it. Satan's anger against Israel explains the cancer that we know as anti-Semitism. From the beginning of biblical history, he has wanted to destroy Israel. He has wanted to prevent the fulfillment of God's plans for Christ to bring salvation to mankind. Satan tried to prevent the first coming, but failed. And ever since the resurrection, he has been eager to prevent the second coming of Christ. Satan's logic is that if he can annihilate the Jewish people, then there will be no Israel for Christ to return to. But God controls all of history. Nothing can prevent the fulfillment of his promises. Satan's head was already bruised at the crucifixion and resurrection. Victory over sin and death has already been won. Satan's eternal defeat has already been secured. There is nothing Satan can do to change the outcome. But until Christ returns, Satan will continue to fan the flames of anti-Semitism in every way he can. Those flames were fanned in a big way when Hamas attacked Israel on October 7, 2023. Hamas is just one of Israel's many enemies in the Middle East. Ever since the rebirth of Israel, the Jewish people have been surrounded by a ring of fire. They are surrounded by enemies in Gaza, Lebanon, Syria, the West Bank, Jordan, Iran, Iraq, and more. And anti-Semitism isn't limited to the Middle East. It's also a serious problem in the Western world, and it's gotten worse since Hamas' attack against Israel on October 7th. One study shows that anti-Semitism has increased fivefold on social media. In the first 3 months after October 7th, anti-Semitism increased by 360% in the United States, and in recent months, the number of anti-Semitic incidents in Europe have broken new record. On April 1st, 2024, one news article stated that anti-Semitism in the United Kingdom, Spain, and France had exploded by 1,000%. More recently, we've seen a lot of pro-Palestinian protests and riots on college campuses in the United States and Europe. These protests have been accompanied by vandalism, death threats, and violence. One of the most important lessons the Western world can learn from the Holocaust is that anti-Semitism starts out small and grows over time. 75 years after the Holocaust ended, one Jewish survivor said that the destruction of the Jews began with small steps that were tolerated. What began with banning Jews from sitting on benches in Berlin, evolved in incremental steps to ghettos and death camps. This survivor then said such horrors can happen anywhere, even in the United States. In 1923, Hitler gave a speech in which he said, "The Jews are undoubtedly a race, but not human." At the time, the Jews were also blamed for Germany's loss of World War I and its economic collapse. By 1935, Hitler implemented laws that prohibited Jews from becoming German citizens. He also prohibited marriage between Jews and the Germanic people. One by one, more restrictions were placed upon the Jews, and eventually the time came when it was legal to kill Jewish people without breaking any laws. The downward spiral began when the Jews were dehumanized, and that's what we are seeing happen in the world today. More and more we are seeing the Jewish people dehumanized. Another very important observation is that anti-Semitism is fueled by lies. For example, in medieval Europe, Jewish people were accused of spreading the Black Death. As a result, thousands of Jews were massacred and hundreds of Jewish communities destroyed. Back when COVID broke out, a correspondent for the Jerusalem Post wrote this: "It's a tale nearly as old as the Jewish people, one that stretches back to the dawn of our existence as a nation, targeted by unimaginable hatred, singled out for bizarre and often self-contradictory conspiracy theories. Jews have time and again seen anti-Semitism flare up throughout history." If you've been following the war in Gaza, you'll remember that a short time into the war, Israel was blamed for firing a rocket into a hospital in Gaza and killing 500 people. The uproar was instantaneous. Nations and their leaders all over the world condemned Israel. It wasn't until many hours later that Israel was able to provide irrefutable evidence that the rocket was actually fired by Islamic Jihad terrorists. The rocket was fired from Gaza and fell from the sky prematurely, hitting the hospital parking lot. Hamas and Islamic Jihad told a lie that spread like wildfire, and the media was more than glad to propagate that lie, and it took Israel several days to refute the lie and prove its innocence. These are just a few examples of the many lies spread by Israel's enemies, and especially by the media. Media bias against Israel is nothing new. There are many false narratives about Israel in the media today, and it is these false narratives that fuel the anti-Semitism we're seeing today in the Western world. It shouldn't surprise us that anti-Semitism is fueled by lies. Jesus himself said in John 8:44 that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Because Satan hates Israel, we can expect that he will use lies to inflame anti-Semitism as much as possible. What's especially disturbing is that many of the Westerners who protest against Israel today are ignorant about the history between Israel and its enemy. They don't know the facts. Their ignorance leads them to believe the many false narratives about Israel, and they end up spreading the lies to others. This makes anti-Semitism a fast-growing cancer, and there are plenty of signs around us that it will get worse. If we want to get some idea of how close we are to Christ's return, all we need to do is to look at the world's growing hatred for Israel. We know that during the tribulation, anti-Semitism will be at its worst, and we are now on a trajectory that will take us in that direction. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. God has promised to preserve his people. He has already been doing that, and he will continue to do so. In a speech given at the United Nations on October 1, 2015, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke about the remarkable preservation of the Jewish people through the ages. Here's what he said: "In every generation, there were those who rose up to destroy our people. In antiquity, we faced destruction from the ancient empires of Babylon and Rome. In the Middle Ages, we faced inquisition and expulsion. And in modern times, we faced pogroms and the Holocaust. Yet the Jewish people persevered. And now another regime has arisen, swearing to destroy Israel. The regime would be wise to consider this. I stand here today representing Israel, a country 67 years young, but the nation-state of a people nearly 4,000 years old. Yet the empires of Babylon and Rome are not represented in this Hall of Nations. Neither is the thousand-year Reich. These seemingly invincible empires are long gone. But Israel lives. The people of Israel live. Bible prophecy tells us that Israel's darkest hour is still ahead. But when Christ returns, all of the hatred aimed at Israel will come to a sudden end. Christ will destroy the Antichrist and all of Israel's enemies. Then the Prince of Peace will set up his earthly kingdom, and he will rule the nations from Jerusalem. He will make Israel the center of the world. Zechariah 8:23 tells us that in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, "Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." In that day, the cancer of anti-Semitism will forever be gone. It will be replaced with the most vibrant and incredible peace the world has ever known. And this peace will emanate from Christ's throne in Jerusalem. Speaking of the future glory of Israel, God said this in Isaiah 60, "Violence shall no more be heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hand, that I might be glorified." In light of what we have just learned, we can see why it is so vital that we as Christians support Israel, and that we pray for the Jewish people. In a day when anti-Semitism is getting worse, Israel needs its friend more than ever. May we be diligent about praying for Israel's safety. May we pray for those Jewish people who have received Jesus as their Messiah, and for opportunities for them to share the gospel with those who are seeking to understand what is going on today. And may we pray for truth to prevail over the many false narratives being spread today about Israel. Foreshadows Report is a weekly podcast. If you would like to stay in touch on a daily basis, you can do so through Telegram Messenger channel. All through the week, I post various news from around the world, and on the weekends, I share quotes from great Christian books and from the Bible itself. If you aren't receiving these daily posts, I invite you to sign up for them. You can do that by going to Telegram Messenger channel and subscribing to Foreshadows Report. Or you can go to my website, stevemillerresources.com. And when you scroll to the bottom of the home page, you'll find a link for subscribing to my post on Telegram. And in closing, I want to express my gratitude to Harvest House Publishers for making this podcast possible.